Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
What's going on, Philadelphia? Joe Torti here with you, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hope that you're having a great day, that you've had a good start to the week. Tuesdays are tough, as you know. My least favorite day of the week. Monday, you're still kind of basking in the glow of the weekend. But let's face it, considering we're all in quarantine anyway, this day's kind of just like every other day at this point. But we're going to get through this Tuesday together. We've got two more days until the NFL draft. Lots of rumors and intrigue surrounding the Eagles and what they could potentially be doing in the draft. Of course, there are other things that have developed, most notably that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have acquired Rob Gronkowski from the New England Patriots for a fourth-round pick. It is Gronkowski and a seventh for the Buccaneers' fourth-round pick. And now Gronkowski and Tom Brady reunited in New England. And I don't know how big of an impact this is going to make. And the reason that I say that is because they've already got a good tight end in O.J. Howard and another good one in Cameron Brait. I'm not positive that Gronkowski is better than either of those. However, I do think that some of those reports that we were seeing earlier this week about the Buccaneers perhaps moving on from O.J. Howard start to make a little bit more sense now that this move has been made. I truly have no idea if Rob Gronkowski would come back to be the third tight end on a team with Tom Brady on it. Truly don't know. Would he come back to be the second tight end on a team with Tom Brady on it? Not clear. I'm not sure. But I do present to you a question regarding the move, and generally speaking, regarding Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay now. We know that he's got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brait, now Rob Gronkowski. Do you consider the Buccaneers to be a real threat to the Eagles' Super Bowl hopes? Which is to say, do you consider them to be a real obstacle, a true obstacle on the way to an NFC championship game or on the way to a Super Bowl? Because I do admire the fact that Tampa Bay is kind of doing what they can to get better in a hurry. But if the Eagles draft well, which I know, no guarantee based on their track record, but if they do, and they're able to push forward and have the kind of season that we think they're capable of, they should be, at the absolute bare minimum, a playoff team. The absolute bare minimum. And I don't know where Tampa Bay is going to end up. Personally speaking, I think that it's a lot of changeover and a lot of new faces, most notably the quarterback. I just don't see it all coming together perfectly in year one. Maybe it will. You know, maybe it'll be like Peyton Manning joining the Broncos and everything just aligns and it's perfect and it's no problem. But I just don't get the impression that that's going to happen in this case with Brady and Gronk in Tampa. Am I misreading this, or are you looking at it as though they could be a real threat in the NFC? I don't even know if I like them all that much in their conference, or in their division, rather. I don't think that I am in love with Tampa just to win the division, even though I will say this. I think that Brady has more in the tank left than a lot of people do. Rob Gronkowski, not so much. Those are my last couple of tweets, by the way, that one was retweeting Adam Schefter, who obviously notified all of us of the trade pending the physical and everything like that. I just don't think that Gronk has anything left. Now, there are people that are saying with the year off and everything else that he could come back, you know, fired up and ready to go and healthy and all that. I just think the Rob Gronkowski's played some really tough seasons and has had some significant injuries and was a total shell of him, shell of himself by the time the 2018 season had wrapped up. So I don't really see Rob Gronkowski as being an impact player in New England. 610-632-0975. Also, we'll be discussing the NFL draft. The mock draft roundups are coming up. Wide receiver has been a common thread for a lot of them. The Inquirer has Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State being the selection for the Eagles. Tim McManus of obviously Tim's of ESPN, but I believe it was the NFL Nation mock draft, has them selecting Justin Jefferson at 21. Most commonly, it is the Eagles taking a wide receiver. Here is my question for you. If it is Brandon Ayuk, and he is set to be the fifth wide receiver off the board, according to the Inquirer mock draft. And let's see if I can share this whole thing with you. Les Bowen's mock draft. So it's Joe Burrow, Chase Young, Jeff Okuda, blah, blah, blah. You're not worried about any of that. You're worried about the wide receivers. CeeDee Lamb goes first to the Raiders at 12. Henry Ruggs goes 13. Jerry Jeudy goes 15. And Justin Jefferson goes 20 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that is to say that in Les Bowen's mock draft, there are four wide receivers that are off the board. He has them taking Brandon Ayuk at 21. He says that it's not likely that they would take him at 21. They would move back and they might take him there. So I have a question for you. Assuming that they don't trade back, which Tyler Zuli, who's producing this evening, has been saying that that is a grand plan, that would work out well. I agree. Assuming that that doesn't happen, at 21, if they do not move, do you want them to take whoever is next up at wide receiver? And here's why I'm asking this. Xavier McKinney is still on the board at this point, gets taken 28th by the Ravens. Yetur Gross-Matos from Penn State, the defensive end, goes 25th to the Vikings. Patrick Queen, the linebacker from LSU, goes to the Saints at 24. A.J. Terrell goes 29th. To the Titans, the corner from Clemson. There's a lot of talent that goes off the board after this happens. But it's become the question of the day, is wide receiver or not? Is it truly wide receiver or bust? Because there are a lot of projections between 12 and 15, or between 9 and 15, having a lot of these wide receivers kind of flying off the board. Would you be okay with that? Is that something that you would be comfortable with? It's a question that is going to have to be addressed here, because I think that that would be a terrible way to build this team. To just go to the wide receiver column and whoever you have next up after those top four guys are gone. And people have been asking, who are the top four? Jefferson is in the top four. I know that people like Denzel Mims, I know that people like some people like Ayuk. I know that some people like Jalen Reagor. The top four is Jeudy, Lamb, Ruggs, Jefferson, and probably in that order. I would be incredibly disappointed if Brandon Ayuk was the selection at 21. Would you think the same thing, or would you look at it the other way and say, hey, they're getting a weapon for Wentz, I'm going to be okay with it, trust in Howie, et cetera, et cetera. Speaking of Jalen Reagor, we'll hear from Drew Davison, who covers all things for the Star Telegram, TCU Athletics. So when you're talking about that, you're talking about Jeff Gladney, you're talking about Jalen Reagor, and several other draft prospects the Horned Frogs are bringing to the table as well. So we will talk to Drew at 8 o'clock previously covered the Cowboys and the Rangers. So has a good perspective on all things sports, but will be utilizing his TCU expertise coming up at 8 o'clock as our series with beat writers and premier prospects continues. Let's go to the phones with Andrew in Springfield to lead things off here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Andrew?
Hi, I want to talk about the draft.
Yep.
You can select a receiver. Well, I think the Inquirer is a little crazy. The Jacksonville Jaguars have bigger problems than picking a receiver. I feel like they have other positions they have to worry about. So I feel like there's a really good chance the Eagles are still going to take Justin Jefferson, even though that's not really what I want them to do.
Well, why don't you want them to do that, and what would you rather see them do instead?
I wouldn't mind if they did it, but earlier I was having a feeling I'm just not trusting this. Don't get me wrong, I'm an LSU fan. I love JJ, but I just don't see it. But what I would want them to do is either trade up and try and get Henry Ruggs, maybe, or someone with speed, CeeDee Lamb. That has been mentioned to me, or trade back and get Denzel Mims, who is a big favorite of mine from Baylor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Jefferson ran faster than Lamb at the combine. Does that matter to you?
Well, I guess it does now matter because, he's projected lower than Lamb. I feel like he will end up being better because when he was in high school, he was a two-star prospect, and the only, D1 school that really wanted him was LSU. They mm-hmm. took the chance, and Jefferson ended up being this really good wide receiver. So I feel like if he's still being doubted, he will take that in motivation and will do his absolute best for the Eagles.
Well, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree completely, Andrew. I think that, and thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. That's why it matters to me, what people are really looking for. Because is it, a top wide receiver? Is it the best speed? I think speed does matter. Henry Ruggs has it. But Justin Jefferson ran a 4.43, and CeeDee Lamb ran a 4.5 flat at the combine. Does that mean that I think Jefferson's better than CeeDee Lamb? No, it actually does not. I think that Jefferson's going to be a good pro, but I don't think that he's necessarily better than CeeDee Lamb. The thing is that people are talking about you need to get a wide receiver with speed, and Jefferson is so slow. There are not a ton of wide receivers who ran faster than Jefferson. If you want 4.27 Henry Ruggs, I get that. But Denzel Mims, 4.38. 0.05 faster than Justin Jefferson. The difference between Denzel Mims and Justin Jefferson is less than the difference between Jefferson and Lamb in terms of running. He ran faster than Jerry Jeudy by 0.02, but he still ran faster. We get obsessed with speed all the time. I just think that that is a dangerous way to play. When you're only looking at 40 times in terms of evaluating talent, you end up with a team like the Oakland Raiders built, where it's, I have to have Jacoby Ford, and I have to have, Jacoby Ford was okay, but have to have Darius Hayward Bay, and I have to have all of these, Fabian Washington. The fastest guy, I have to have the fastest guy every single time, your team doesn't always end up being that good. And I feel like we so often here in this city would be poking and looking at the Raiders and be like, oh, so silly, Al Davis at it again. And now there is this obsession with a guy having to be one of the fastest guys in the draft or else you can't use him. I feel like that's so silly. I feel like that is not the way that you build in terms of creating a quality wide receiver core. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Sean Keenan tweeting in, in my opinion, I do not think that Tampa is better than the Eagles, Cowboys, Vikings, Packers, Rams, Niners, Saints, Seahawks today. All depends on the draft, but I can't see Tampa being better than those eight teams. Okay. So that would mean that the Saints are the division winner there. But Tampa getting in as a wild card doesn't seem like it. Jim in Upper Darby is next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Jim?
Yes, sir. I want to ask you if you thought that we'd be better off going after a linebacker instead of a wide receiver.
You think that whether the Eagles would go after a linebacker?
Yeah, like a middle linebacker is more important than another wide receiver.
Well, I guess it depends, Jim, on the relative talent of those guys, right? So, like, if you're getting one of the top wide receivers, that's probably a bigger need for your offense than a linebacker is for your defense, just because the Eagles have never prioritized drafting a linebacker all that high. But if all of these wide receivers are gone and you can take one of the top linebackers, I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But we definitely need a middle linebacker to compete for a playoff.
Well, you think so? Because I don't know. I mean, Nigel Bradham got the job done, you know, before. Like, so I don't know if they can't just bring Bradham back. He's still a free agent. I think that you'd still be able to get it done. It's just clear that they don't really prioritize linebacker. And Jim, thanks for the phone call, man. Really appreciate it. They don't prioritize linebacker in terms of being a piece that is essential for them. I think it's important to have groups of linebackers who can do a lot of stuff. But I don't necessarily believe that the Eagles think that you've got to have a Luke Kuechly, Patrick Willis, Brian Urlacher, you know, type guy to get everything done for you in the middle of the defense and in the middle of the field going sideline to sideline. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. Although, as Dave is pointing out, give me Murray who can anchor that D for years, then trade another second and take two of the best wide receivers available. Man. I don't think that I would want them to take a wide receiver at 21 if the top four are gone. I feel like that would be a foolish thing to do. And the reason why, people are like, oh, they need a wide receiver. What are you going to do? Well, look at what you could do instead. I believe in my heart of hearts that before the Eagles go, four quarterbacks will be gone at least, right? So that's four guys that are, you know, that you'd probably want that are sliding down to you, four guys that you would not draft anyway. I believe that at least it's going to be Burrow, Tua, Herbert, and Love all off the board at least by the time the Eagles pick at 21. They're probably not going to be all that interested in defensive tackle. They're probably not going to be all that interested, depending, you know, who knows, in running back, first round running back. So there are several positions that are going to be taken perhaps ahead of them that would push players down. The problem is these wide receivers could go as well. I really don't want the Eagles to take the fifth or the sixth best wide receiver at 21. That seems like a panic move. And so based on that, I would rather see them take the swing at one of the other positions where some of that talent has fallen further down. That tends to be the way that better teams are built. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Also, can reach out on Twitter at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's go to Alan next in Belmar on 97.5. What's going on, Alan?
How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. First time talking. I talked to Dee and I talked to Michael, so it's ironic. I just talked to my good high school friend from Florida about 10 minutes before you came on about their situation. I told him about Gronkowski. He didn't know it. He said, well, it figures, he said, because Howard's been a disappointment. And with Godwin and Evans, you know, but that's why I guess, you know, they've had so many total yards and everything the last couple of years.
Sure. There.
But he said that Mr. Howard has the case of the drops too often, so it really didn't surprise him that there may be maybe might be moving him.
Mm. Well, so that report came out earlier this week, Alan, that they're looking at moving O.J. Howard. So that's something that we'll certainly keep an eye on, especially now that Gronk's in the fold in Tampa.
Another question, if I may.
Of course.
What's your thought about the disgruntled defensive end from Jacksonville? I mean, I know he's a hell of a player, and we're talking about a big number, but I don't know if Barnett's ever going to pan out, whatever, being a number one pick and everything. I think with the great defensive push we have up front, a great defensive end coming on would really put a lot of pressure on a quarterback and alleviate maybe some of our problems at linebacker and V-back.
I think that that's definitely true, especially when you're talking about a guy like Ngakoue's talent. But the question is, Alan, that I'll pose to you, it's going to cost a first-round pick plus. So, you know, are you comfortable with moving on from, you know, number 21 and more, whether it's a draft pick, player, or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know. I doubt if they're getting into it that much, but maybe at the end of the round, if they move back or something like that, and then something might present themselves where maybe they think it might be okay to try and go that way. I don't know. I would not be disappointed with that, even though we definitely need a receiver. But
Alan, to your point, it's all about, thanks for the phone call, man, adding talent. You know, it's all about, you know, adding talent. But I do think that the back and forth between Tony Khan and Yannick Ngakoue on Twitter definitely kind of throws a wrench in. Now, here's what I'll if you didn't hear this or didn't see this earlier today, I think that it's relevant to hear and figure out what the sentiment is here. So Yannick Ngakoue and Tony Khan really got into it on Twitter. And so there's a back and forth that ended up happening here yesterday. Yannick Ngakoue said Tony Khan, who is the owner / football analytics of the Jaguars, owner, director of football, GM, sporting director, he makes a lot of decisions personnel-wise, right? So he says, "Stop hiding, Mo." Then Tony Khan gets back, "I'm not in hiding, sir. I'm in isolation getting ready for the draft. I've been pretty active on social media in isolation, but you wouldn't know that since you unfollowed me." Again. Smack. Then Yannick Ngakoue writes back, "Since you're feeling might today, let's both let the world in on the truth. We've been had a discussion that the Chargers game was my last game, yet you try to backdoor the situation without answering any of my camp's calls. You're spoiled, holding people up for no reason. Clown face emoji. I'm tired of the back and forth at Jaguars. Let's get this bleep done." Then Tony Khan writes back, "It's a new regime here, sir. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of the contributions you made here. That said, tweeting insults at me won't get you traded any faster. Only good trade compensation will do that. Please redirect your efforts into a more productive outlet." Ngakoue says, "Just trade me. I don't need the speech." And then Tony Khan says, "Show me the compensation. I'm sure you're really driving up the price today, by the way." Now, I saw some people are, kind of crushing Tony Khan for getting into it with a player. I thought this was great. Like, you know, you're getting called out. I get that technically you're an executive and you're a boss or whatever you want to call Tony Khan, but are you just supposed to, like, shut up and get punked on social media? I thought it was cool what Tony Khan did, whichever side of this thing you're on. The idea that you should just, like, sit back and let somebody take pot shots at you, I think is kind of ridiculous. I thought that overall, both sides kind of showed what they're all about. But I don't think that Yannick Ngakoue holds a ton of the cards when Tony Khan puts out that compensation is going to be the only thing that matters, considering that they've also franchise-tagged Ngakoue. Unless there's a trade, he's going to be a Jaguar for the upcoming year. And the Jags can kind of name their price at this point. Paul Arch tweets in, "I don't think the Jags are getting a first for Yannick. I wouldn't let him go for anything less than that." Here's why. If he sits out the entire year, you still control his rights. If he goes through the motions for the entire year, then that's fine. Even if he signs a big deal, you're still getting a third round pick in compensation, right? I don't think a second round pick is enough to get me to move on from Yannick Ngakoue. I think that there is a first out there. Tyler, do you believe that there is a first out there for Yannick Ngakoue somewhere?
I don't know if there's a first this year for him.
Okay.
I think that there is a first in the upcoming draft. I don't know if a team's going to be willing to invest this year's first round pick, not knowing if he's going to re-sign or not.
Fair enough.
So I think it might be next year's first.
Well, see, that seems even riskier to me, to give up a future pick for a guy this year without knowing that he's going to re-up with you.
Well, and it's going to be, that's why I say it, it's going to be a team that's close to contending that can still get their first round pick this upcoming draft and get Yannick Ngakoue on top of that, which would give them the chance to have potentially two stud defenders, a good offensive player and Ngakoue, and even if you only get it for a season, it's a better chance if you're close to winning a Super Bowl.
610-632-0975. We'll unpack that. O.J. Howard catch rate is 67.1. That's not good. And also, we'll lead off with Max in Allentown when we return. It is the Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler Zulli producing. We're hanging out until 10 o'clock. Coming up at 8, we will continue our NFL draft preview with Drew Davison, who covers TCU Athletics for the Star Telegram. Talk to him about Jalen Reagor. We'll talk to him about Jeff Gladney and more. So you don't want to miss that. That's coming up at 8 o'clock. For now, we go to Max in Allentown on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Max?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Yeah, Roseman has this franchise behind the eight ball for this draft and this past free agency. It's quite apparent that other GMs see the Eagles dealing from a place of weakness. And we saw that with the Demetrius Hopkins trade, where they're holding the Eagles' feet to the fire for a bigger package than what they were going to trade other teams for. Roseman put them in this situation by three critical errors in the drafts the past 3 years. Derek Barnett, Sidney Jones, and Arcega Whiteside. Now you have a need for three wide receivers on offense. You have a need for two defensive ends on defense. So,
you think they need two defensive ends?
They need two defensive ends. I mean, it's almost as bad as wide receiver, but a lot of people don't see that because they still have this unrelenting faith in Derek Barnett, who's a bust, and Brandon Graham's on his way out. He's lucky if he'll see he'll be Jason Peters this year. A lot of people are overrating him. He's old and he's lost a step.
But they still got Malik Jackson too, right? So like that, he's probably
a guy who didn't play last year.
Oh yeah, but also their biggest free agent signing.
Yeah, and he did nothing for them. He's an injury prone player you can't count on. That's half the team. It's an aging team, and Roseman has traded away pick after pick to plug holes because he can't draft. And here we are again in the draft, and teams see Roseman, and if they see a wide receiver that they want, they're going to trade ahead of the Eagles for him. Because it's like the Philadelphia Eagles right now are playing poker with their cards face up. Everybody knows what they want. Everybody knows what their weaknesses are. Roseman is the issue, but nobody really wants to, hold his feet to the fire. He put us in this situation, and I don't think there's any way of getting out of it. I think they're going to have to bite the bullet, either trade up or trade down, and not get good compensation.
Well, because teams need, and Max, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. Just because teams know that they need wide receiver doesn't mean in the event that they were going to trade down that the compensation isn't there. Like, there's not this collusion idea against the Eagles. I'm on board with what you're saying about the Eagles being a clear target to trade in front of for a wide receiver. I completely agree with that. Could not disagree more with Malik Jackson being an injury-prone player in that Jackson did not miss a game dating back to 2012 when he played in 14 games as a rookie for Denver. He played in 16 games from 2013 through 2018. He's not an injury-prone player. He got injured last year. I anticipate that he's just 30. He's not 33, 34, 35. I would anticipate that Malik Jackson's going to be a part of the future. He was their biggest free agent signing last year. So I don't agree with that at all. I think that Brandon Graham, while he might not be an elite-level player, I think that he still has something to give you. I'm on board with Derek Barnett being a pick that is going to hurt the Eagles long-term. The Sidney Jones pick was disastrous because it ended up costing you several running backs, we'll put it that way. And then the Donnell Pumphrey pick and everything cascades. Max, you're right in that Howie Roseman has not been a good drafter. I've been saying this for quite some time. He's done well in other areas. He's done well in free agent signing. By and large, he's done okay in trades. There have been some misses there as well, but you know everybody has misses in the NFL. It's going to be a massive draft for him. Absolutely massive. Because the Eagles are actually in decent shape. They've got 8 picks. They just traded for Darius Slay, so they get a top flight corner. That's one of the big-time needs kind of off the list for the Eagles. I think that this is an absolutely pivotal draft to determine whether the Eagles are going to succeed in the next couple of years or not. I mean, not to put too much on one draft, but I think the other part of it is how much development is going to happen. The DeAndre Hopkins trade was something that I don't like. Howie Roseman, I believe that Howie Roseman, if that narrative were true, that the Eagles gave a better offer, I believe that he would have said that. And he did not say that. He said that the price got to where we were uncomfortable. I think that if he said, if they had the best offer and they just took another offer, I don't think Howie would have a problem saying that. Ty, what do you?
I don't think so. I can't imagine there being an offer that matches that. Or, excuse me, that doesn't match. You know, David Johnson and what was it? A second round pick?
Yeah.
Like there has to have been another offer out there. There's no way there wasn't. I just don't know what it was. Like, did the Eagles offer something better?
I doubt it.
There's no way.
There's
no way that there is not a better trade offer than a second and a washed up running back. Well, that would be my guess.
I get that. I 100%. But I believe that if Howie put in a better offer, that we would have heard about it from Howie.
Yes.
Like that we felt good about our offer. They went in another direction that, you know, a package that we don't feel matched ours. But that was their decision and we're moving on. Like I think that's what would have happened. It didn't happen. A lot of people saying T. Higgins at 21. The Clemson fan in me cringes inside as I say this. Not a fan of T. Higgins at 21. I'd be interested to see, as a second rounder, the second player that you're taking, you know, T. Higgins with upside. I wouldn't mind this if you go Justin Jefferson at 21 and then T. Higgins after a small move up from 53 to 48 or something like that. I could swallow something, you know. Tyler, you know that I'm not a big T. Higgins fan. I don't get the impression that you're a massive T. Higgins fan. I can digest it a lot more there if he's going to be part of a group solution as opposed to this is our new guy.
Yeah, if he's the second guy, take it. And quite honestly, too, I'm not fully opposed to not taking a receiver in the first round and then getting Higgins in the second. That's okay with me, too. I think that you actually said it best not too long ago when you talk about that any improvement is improvement for this team. I'm not against still going in the defensive direction and then getting a guy like Higgins or Chenault or Pittman in the second round.
Well, and that's it, right? First of all, in the first round, getting optimal talent is kind of essential. Like getting whatever is going to be one of the most talented players left is important. The other half of it, to allude to what Tyler was talking about, is that the Eagles receivers last year, after all of the injuries, were horrendously bad. First of all, I believe that the Eagles anticipate the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is going to improve. I know that that's not going to be a very popular opinion, but that's 100% the way that they are going to approach it. I don't think that they believe that they need 3 wide receivers in this draft. I think that they believe that with another offseason, training the right position, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is going to take a step forward. Whether he will or not, who knows? But I think that that's where they're feeling. And then the other half of it is that they were so terrible that talk about adding this elite level talent. They were still a playoff team with nobody at wide receivers. Nobody's. So if you get any level of talent, even marginal talent is better than what the Eagles had last year. So that's what I mean by improvement is improvement. Brandon Ramsey, at what point do you offer Alshon for a 2024 first to Bill O'Brien? Yesterday. Absolutely, you try to get in on the Bill O'Brien sweepstakes. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Quaz, you're going to lead us off. I want to give you your full time. It is the Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. We're hanging out until 10 o'clock. 6 o'clock hour on 97.5 The Fanatics, brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. So Paul Arch tweets in, Howie said that what the Texans asked for from the Eagles was different from what they got from the Cardinals. Well, there are a couple elements to it, right? The first thing is that I believe, for whatever reason, they wanted David Johnson. Right, so I think that David Johnson, for whatever reason, moved the needle for Bill O'Brien. The Cardinals' pick that they gave up was 40, and the Eagles have 53, so that's 13 picks worse. So it would have taken the second and more. Then there's also the fact that Howie Roseman's got to decide: does he want to, spend the remaining cap space required on a DeAndre Hopkins trade? And I don't think that was true. So, I think that it's a lot of it. I think that there are a variety of reasons why that doesn't happen. But I don't think that the Eagles were getting held up for no good reason just because they want a wide receiver. Those are the teams that you would want to go to for a trade. Let's go to Quaz in Philly next on The Fanatic. What's up, Quaz?
What's up, Joe? How you doing, bro?
Doing great. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you for letting me come on this side, and so I'll have to rush through it. But
you bet.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised Howie got paid like he weighed right now, because Howie wants some bills out there, y'all. I believe him when he say they charging me more. I believe him.
Why would they do that?
When you lose people to free agency to Howie, or if there's bills out there where Howie has been the benefactor of and he's came out on the plus side, the league looks at that. Guys be like, all right, enough with you winning. Right now you got to pay like you weigh, and I'm going to charge you up. I can see that happen to Howie. Plus, he just won a Super Bowl, and he the golden boy of all GMs. Yeah, I would charge you. So,
right.
But that's
all
not
right.
What I call.
Okay.
That's not what I call. Okay. Oh, the second, I called about pick number 53, and I'm going to try to blaze through this. Joe, you mind if I just rip it and rip it real quick?
Absolutely, bro.
Thank you, sir. And if you want to hold me on, we can discuss it afterwards. I would love to. At 53, my whole draft starts with what Dallas does. Okay, if Dallas takes a safety in the first, my second pick at 53 is for the best, arguably the second, no worse than the second best free safety in the game with Antoine Winfield Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He has 7 picks, 85 tackles, 3 sacks. And the sacks I'm talking about are not sacks from a safety coming down in the box. He sacks them from the free safety position. If you don't believe me, go watch the Nebraska tape. Mm-hmm. He did it twice, okay? I mean, an all-around baller. Return balls, interceptions for touchdowns, and return punts for touchdowns. He is definitely, he's going to be early 40s is what I'm looking at. But that should be their target, okay? Because we need to cause turnovers in our secondary. We have no dogs back there. You just got rid of Malcolm Jenkins. So you got Rodney McLeod back there. Rodney McLeod had a decent year for himself, but which is still average by league standards. Mm-hmm. And he had a pretty decent year, okay? So I would say that should be their target. Now, if he don't go to, I'm figuring now, he could either go to Tampa Bay or Atlanta ahead of us in the second round.
Okay.
But if he doesn't go in one of those two spots, Dallas is sitting there two spots ahead of us, right? Rams got Taylor Rapp. There's a couple other safeties in there like Jamal Adams, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Eddie Jackson. You go up to go get that 48 like we talked about. I don't want to pay for it this year. Joe owe us one. Let me give you a 3 for next year. I'm overpaying, but I'm pushing it down the line. It's called interest, okay? Get that, or give them a 3 next year. And then I would go ahead and take him. Now, if he goes at Tampa or Atlanta, now I would just sit my butt right there, and I'm sitting right there in the sweet spot of that second tier of receivers. And then I go receiver, receiver. I would drop down, and I would take Kayvon Wallace in the third or the fourth. Mm-hmm. I will wait. I wouldn't take a free safety because none is worth that high. After him, it drops off.
So I'm anticipating, Kwasi, you think that like a guy like Grant Delpit is going to go before this?
Correct. Okay. Grant Delpit is he's a combination safety. He can play either in the box or he can play over the top. So either way, it's going to be him. And then McKinley is going to go after him, I believe. But McKinley obviously is an in-the-box guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for an in-the-box guy. I like Rodney Clemens way later on. This boy named Elijah Halliburton from Wyoming, who's in the top 10 in tackles as a safety, and he ain't even get invited nowhere. I would take a look at somebody like that to challenge Jalen Mills at the strong. But the free safety, I gotta go after Antoine Winfield. But again, if I miss on him, okay, drop down, take Kayvon Wallace from Clemson. And you're still right there in the sweet spot for a receiver.
Well, see, Kwas, I like this plan overall. And thanks for the phone call. And the reason why is because that you're locked. You're not necessarily locked into a position. You're able to be more versatile based on the way that the board breaks, which is kind of the name of the game. That's why I would not be a huge fan of taking a wide receiver in the first round, no matter what. You know, if we're assuming that the top four are off the board, the top four being Judy, Lamb, Ruggs, Jefferson, you know, trying to get more picks. I think that the back half of the first round, top of the second round, is going to kind of be a sweet spot for some talent. So that's where I think that the Eagles should try to get to if they're going to trade back. If they're going to stay put, I do think that there are going to be some players there as well. But they do have a significant number of holes, I would say. Or if you don't want to call them holes, needs or areas where they could certainly shore things up. I like Winfield a lot. And it's not just because of his dad. It's also because I view him as one of the best ball hawkers in the entire draft, especially at that position. And a ball hawk safety is exactly what the doctor ordered. When you look at the way that I look at it is this, right? Difference makers at safety are way more important to me than in the box guys. In the box guys play a role. There's no doubt about it. But if I'm going to be taking a chance at somebody who's not the top flight safety, let's say, like the Eric Berrys or the Ed Reeds or Troy Polamalu's, the guys who can do everything, Brian Dawkins, give me the guy who's an X factor, who's creating turnovers, who is able to take the ball away, create extra possessions for my offense, and that's what Winfield does. So I wouldn't mind that at all, Kwas. That's actually a pretty cool move. 610-632-0975, your phone number, top of board the conversation. Plenty of room we can get in now without a wait. I wouldn't mind that. I know that Tyler would be a linebacker guy in the event that the top four wide receivers are gone, unless there's somebody that's much higher on the board that we did not anticipate would slide all the way down. Some mock drafts have Isaiah Simmons going in the 20s, which is kind of insane to me. Like, if it were me, the slide stops at 21 for Isaiah Simmons. Like, the plan goes out the window for me if the top four wide receivers are gone.
Yeah, there's no plan anymore after that.
Even if the top three receivers are gone, you know I like Jefferson. I'm probably still taking Simmons instead of Jefferson.
I would tend to agree with you on that one. I think that, again, it goes back to you can still get something out of, something of relevance in the second round at a receiver position. and you would be passing up on a generational type talent. Again, it comes down to where will Jim Schwartz use him, which I think is going to be a huge, you know, question mark for a guy that can play all over the field, for a coach that doesn't really get creative. But it would be really, really dumb to pass him up at 21.
Especially if there is a question about where to utilize him, and the Eagles have questions at safety and at linebacker, it all kind of works out nicely. You know what I mean? Like, you have a guy who can potentially fill multiple roles as you kind of figure out where everything fits the best, the nicest, the neatest.
So then the question will become, if he's there at 21,
yeah,
is it Isaiah Simmons, or a team offers you 28 next year's first?
I'm doing that.
Taking that deal?
Yeah, well, probably. Especially if, let's see, who's 28? Because I need to know how good that team is.
I want to say it might be the Ravens.
All right, I would subscribe to that. If it's the Ravens at 28, I'm not buying the Ravens being great 2 years from now. So I would take their first rounder. Yes, that is it. If they want Isaiah Simmons for 28 and next year's first, I'm in. Are you in?
Yeah, under the assumption that next year's first might be 32, I'm still in.
Do you think it is, though? You think the Ravens are that good?
Next year? Yeah, because it would be the 2021 draft. Yeah. It would be coming off the year that the Ravens probably should be Super Bowl contenders.
Okay.
So, yes, I do.
All right. I'm not sure. I think that they might take a step back. But either way, it doesn't matter. I'm in for that. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. Top of board. Yeah, that DeAndre Hopkins trade makes me weirded out. I get that you can't trade everything, and you had to get Darius Slay. I understand that. You're going to pay Darius Slay. You're going to pay DeAndre Hopkins. I've got to tell you the truth. I don't know if I could have chosen one for like a similar deal and then the contract. I don't know that I would have chosen Slay over Hopkins. I'm just not sure. The Eagles have gotten it done with smoke and mirrors at corner for a while. And them not having wide receivers has cost them games. I think apples to apples, I might have taken the Hopkins extension if the compensation's the same.
I think the Hopkins extension is interesting. But the one stat that I continue to go back to is the fact that over the first 5 weeks of the season last year, the Eagles allowed 6 100-yard receivers.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
In 5 weeks.
Well, hopefully Slay would be able to slow that down a little bit. You think that he, once again, couldn't be any worse than what was going on last year. 610-632-0975. Drew Davison coming up at 8 o'clock to talk all things TCU. Talk to him, and we'll talk to you as well. Wide open phone line, 610-632-0975. You're listening to The Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.